Good morning, good morning, good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to your number one talk radio station. So the mic has now crossed over to Ondangwa, and the big mic now actually is in the charge, is in charge of the mic. Good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning, the 13th of November. The year is 2025. How are you doing this morning, wherever you find yourself? So where are you listening us from? And did you download the app, the Eagle FM app, mobile app? So because if you haven't, you're probably not even listening to me. So if you haven't, make sure that you do that right away. So, because that's how you remain connected wherever you are, in this beautiful land of the brave or outside of the country. It doesn't matter where you are. So make sure that you download that Eagle FM app. So welcome. It's a beautiful morning. It dropped some, it had some drop last night in different parts of this world, of this part of the world. I can see Ondangwa have received some drops as well. We did as well in the beautiful town of Ongwediva. So yeah, it looks like still slowly by slowly, but we are getting there. We need it so badly. We need it so badly, and it's extremely, extremely, extremely hot around this part of the world. So how is your area? How is your region? How is your town? Is it starting to, you know, to be, you know, is it spring? What time? I'm not good at this. Is it summer or spring? I think it's spring. So I'm not good at this. So we were the dumb one in schools, you know? We were the dumb one in school. So I'm not too sure which season is this now. All right. I only know when it's hot, it's summer, you know? That's all. Well, I only know the two seasons. When it's hot, and I don't need to know in terms of, okay, from which month to which month. As long as it's hot, then that's summer for me. All right. And when it comes to cold, you know, it doesn't matter. When you are cold, it's summer, okay? That's how I know, winter and summer. The other season, I'm not too sure, all right? So good morning and welcome. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, sparking a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, you are most welcome. You are most welcome to the family, to the Eagle FM family, and thanks for joining us this morning and for choosing Eagle FM to be your companion at this point in time. So as usual here on Eagle FM and on Unpacking the Day, let's start with on this day in Africa. So all right, so let's take a moment to look back at some key historical events that happened on November 13 through the years, starting with the Angolan Civil War. Now, on November 13, 1994, the government of Angola and the UNITA opposition signed a truce as part of the Lusaka Protocol. The truce was aiming now to end the brutal civil war that had ravaged the country for nearly 3 decades. So the full protocol was finalized a week later on November the 20th. Now, this was a huge step towards peace, though the road, you know, to lasting stability would still be a tough one. So, and next, let's talk about Mauritania. On November 13th, 2008, former president Sid Ould Cheikh Abdallahi, who had been ousted in a coup, was moved from the capital, Nouakchott, to his home village while under house arrest. Now, he denied claims by the new government that he had agreed to leave politics for good. It was really a dramatic moment in Mauritania political history. Fast forward to November 13, 1995, we see Mozambique make history on this day. Mozambique became the first country to join the Commonwealth of Nations without having been a British colony. So this was a significant moment in global diplomacy, showing how countries with different colonial past could come together. So, and finally, on November the 13th, 1977, a major shift happened in South Africa, in South African anti-apartheid movement. Bishop Desmond Tutu resigned as a bishop of the Lesotho Anglican Church after being appointed the first black secretary general of the South African Council of Churches. Now, this was a huge step for the church leadership in the fight against apartheid and set the stage for Tutu's pivotal role in the movement. Well, that's all we have on this day in Africa. Those are some of the significant historical event that happened on the 13th of November in the course of the continent's history. All right, so today is Thursday and November the 13th. So the thought for the day, what is our thought for the day? A stubborn person sails in a clay boat. That's dangerous. A stubborn person sail in a clay boat. Now, the proverb is a metaphor, of course, that highlights the risk and the danger of being unwilling to listen to advice. So, and the clay boat represents something like something fragile, weak, and easily destroyed, you know. And while the stubborn person, you know, is someone who refuses to change their course or approach, even when it is clear that they might face difficulties. Now, the underlying meaning is that a stubborn person is like someone trying to navigate dangerous waters in a boat made of clay. So it's bound to break or sink because it's not built for the challenge. So now, similarly, a person who refuses to consider alternatives or adapt to changing circumstances is setting themselves up for failure. So in essence, the proverb warns that stubbornness can lead to disastrous outcomes, especially when faced with a situation that requires flexibility, sound judgment, and practicality. So the proverb calls for wisdom and humility. So knowing when to change course before things go wrong. So that's our thought for the day, for Thursday the 13th of November. A stubborn person sails in a clay boat. Hopefully that is not you. in the choices you're making and decision you're making throughout the day today. So know when to change, know when to change the course before things goes wrong. So good morning and welcome. Welcome on board. So our time, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 8. And what can you expect in the show this morning? I nearly said tonight. All right. So now we're looking at, today we're looking at who benefit when GDP grows. So especially we're looking at where is the tangible improvement for everyday life? Where there's growth in GDP. Can we see, do we see tangible improvement in our daily life? So that's what we will look at. And we will have a guest just in a few minutes. We will actually start with that. And if we still have time, I will allow you later to come through, have your opinion, your participation, as I said, will also be part of the show. And if we still have time, now, it has been reported that in just 5 years, we actually have lost nearly two-thirds of our employers. That's something we can look at and also see what is happening, what is going on. So is this the root of higher unemployment in the country? So let's look at that as well. So yeah, as you can see, quite interesting. Hopefully you stick around. I'm actually invite you to stick around and unpack this with me. So good morning and welcome, and let's do this. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. In just a few seconds, I will be trying to get our guest this morning and then start. Who benefits when GDP grows? So that's what we're going to look at after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Omudiha utekirwa kabuna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshefa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randisoma yue yongeshefa yue kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM.
No. Very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Michael Shaveni. So Namibia has been showing positive signs of economic growth, which on paper sounds great. But as many of us have noticed, this growth, it doesn't seem to be translating into tangible improvement for everyday life. So we're talking about issues like higher unemployment, economic inequalities, and poverty that are still holding many Namibians back. It is a bit of a puzzle. You know, how can a country be growing economically, yet, you know, so many people are struggling to meet their daily needs? Is it growing reaching the people who need it the most? And why, despite all this progress, do social services still seem inadequate for many? Now, to help us make sense of some of these issues, I'm joined by Mr. Domingo Gaugosep. He is a writer and a legal scholar with a strong interest in international trade law. Mr. Domingo, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me this morning. I would like to appreciate Eagle FM for such a wonderful platform that actually educates the ordinary man, you know, on the street regarding the most pressing issues of our nation in this time.
All right. So, Mr. Kagosep, thank you for being here, definitely, and we appreciate that for your time as well. Amen. To start off, as I, in my introduction, on the paper, Namibia's economy has been growing, even if it's a slow growth. So now, in a simple terms, what does that growth actually mean?
Well, as you've explained in the introduction, economics is actually a very complex social science. It's not a straight cut issue. But in layman's terms, when we say Namibia's economy is growing, it means the country is producing more goods and services than before. Mm-hmm. So this increase is measured through what we call the GDP, or the gross domestic product.
Yeah.
Which actually quantifies the total value of everything produced in the country over a specific period of time. That is economic growth.
Yeah. So, and now when we talk about that economic growth, so as we're saying that it is growing, but many Namibians still feel it's not benefiting from benefiting them directly. So what do you think is causing this disconnect between growth and everyday experience?
Yes, as I said, because it's a complex social science, I think many of us are under the assumption that economic growth translates to economic development.
Yeah.
These two phenomena are not the same. So even though the country, you know, on the paper seems it's moving forward, in actual reality it doesn't, because economic growth measures the quantity, you know, how much a country produces, while development, on the other hand, is about the quality of how much people's lives are improved. Mm. Secondly, I think it's also because much of the income that we get through economic growth does not remain inside the country.
Yeah.
Because part of the GDP is also the income that is produced by foreign nationals within Namibia.
Mm.
Now, so most of this income or profits are actually also sent back or repatriated to their countries. And we know the honest reality is that we have many South African companies in Namibia.
Yeah.
They can pay their dues to the government in terms of tax, but, you know, much of their income is to go back to where it belongs.
Yeah.
Let me give you an analogy, for example, you know. Imagine you are a farmer that have a herd of cattle. So let me say three head of cattle, just three cattle, you know. But two belongs to the neighbor
who
keeps them, you know, on your land and pays you a small rental fee. So, for instance, if I come to your kraal and count your cattle, I might say, Mike is rich, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But in actual sense, most of the milk or the meat products, you know, from the cattle goes back to your neighbor because two belongs to him.
Mm.
I think that's the similar case when it comes to Namibia, that, you know, on paper, it looks the GDP is growing, but the income from the GDP, before it's translated into economic development,
yeah,
much of the income is repatriated by the companies that are not local companies, but that come from abroad. So I think that's the greatest challenge we have. So I think the government has to come in that space where they have to consider, you know, with regulation and policies in terms of how we can really, you know, just make sure much of the income as per the GDP remains within the borders of our country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the,
I hope I'm clear with that.
No. You're very clear. You're very clear. From some of us that are lay people, in a way that you explain, it looks like that GDP, it doesn't really represent the, it give a wrong, not a wrong impression, it give a wrong picture of the country's growth in terms of that it shows the growth, but the revenue that actually comes out of, let's say, from mining and all that, it's not actually part of the country. It could be, as you said, those companies,
yeah,
might be owned by foreign owners. Yeah.
Yes, like I said, Mike, economics is a complex social science. So economic growth is functioning as it's meant for. But you cannot really have tangible or actual growth that can be seen only by measuring it with a GDP.
Mm.
So there comes other things, you know, that should be intertwined with it, like, you know, economic development, as we said, you know.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is for us to see tangible impact even down to the ordinary men in the village, you know.
Yeah.
So now
we see the economic, the GDP, Namibia's GDP has been growing, and now, but people, like ordinary people, would think, but this, there is economy, and you have explained, somewhere you have explained this. So there is this GDP has been growing, but unemployment remains higher. How can we explain that? How does the economic growth not translate into more job for people?
This is quite normal for developing economics, you know. So growth doesn't automatically create jobs.
Yeah.
Especially when driven by capital-intensive industries like mining in Namibia. There's industries to rely heavy on machinery than human labor, for example.
Yeah.
So that's why we see, while GDP rises, job opportunities remain limited. Now, the other thing that is important is that perhaps after we have seen economic growth on paper,
mm,
the government is responsible to regulate, you know, in terms of policies to ensure, first of all, that much of the income remains within the country.
Yeah.
And translated according to, I believe, the demands of the household,
mm,
in terms of the economic cycle.
Yeah.
You know, you on the economic cycle, you find the household, you find the market, you find the entities and the government. Now, we should be honest to understand that the greatest demand of the household in Namibia, I think, is meaningful jobs and then decent and affordable housing, you know, yeah, amongst other things. Mm. So the government is responsible for translating that wealth so that it can reach the needs of the ordinary man.
Yeah. Now, since we don't see much, I mean, of course, we don't see much this translating to more job for people, is that has something to do with how the government actually regulate the income?
Yes. You know, our budget, when our budget was released the recent budget, we saw that much of the budget is actually operational budget, then it's supposed to be a developmental budget. So, I mean, it speaks volumes in terms of the policies that we do consider as a government. Yes. So, and, I mean, the government, let's be honest, the core function of a government in a mixed economy is not to create jobs, but to regulate the environment that can create jobs, you know. That's why you see there's no sustainable economic growth when the government creates jobs, because the jobs that are created by the government are non-market jobs. They are non-market jobs, you know, because at the end it just expands the government expenditure. But then for us to create market jobs, the government has to create a conducive environment in which, you know, for instance, let's say the retail industry, you know, most of the companies that invest in our economy, you know, from South Africa, let's be honest, most of them do not really pay decent salaries to our people, you know. Because factually, we might say most of the people get paid not more than 5,000 per month. And already we know, you know, the pressing needs of our economy in terms of housing, you know, transport, food, and et cetera. So the government needs to bring in policies that ensure, first of all, you know, I think the government mostly folds their hands because they get their corporate tax. Understand, but then they should ensure that they put in policies that ensure that these people get decent jobs, for example, that the companies also invest in our economy. I mean, we have the South African PSL. Most of the companies do invest in it. You know, what if we can get some of these companies, South African companies that operate on in our country to invest in the Namibian Premier League, you know, just to commercialize it, and then we can need tangible jobs for our youth through that, you know. It's just a matter of policy and regulation for the government to say we want each and every company, before they repatriate their income, to give a certain portion or percentage to invest in our sport.
So now, with this economic growth, who benefit most from this current growth? You know, we see this growth, but who is actually, is it the government that is just benefiting from this, or overall, who is actually benefiting from having this economic growth?
Well, this is no mistake. Currently, the system is functioning the way it's meant to be. You know, a system has input, a process, and output. So currently, who benefits most from the growth are mostly the large corporations and foreign investors. They own many of Namibia's productive assets. So locals benefit indirectly through the wages that are not even adequate, and government spending, which is, like I said, the developmental budget is smaller than the operational budget.
Yeah.
So, but the largest share of profits often leave the country through income repatriation. And that's a sad reality.
Yeah. So we also know that Namibia's economy is quite reliant on an industry like mining and to some extent agriculture. Do you think these sectors are creating enough opportunity for the average Namibian?
I would say not really. Industries contribute a lot to GDP, but don't create enough jobs. As I said, the greatest demand for the household within the cycle is just for a meaningful job, understand, and decent housing. So mining, for instance, is highly mechanized, you know, like I said before, and benefits a small number of workers. And when it comes to agriculture employs more people, but remains largely, in Namibia, in our case, it remains largely subsistence-based, offering low income and limited upward mobility. So I think that's what the issue is.
Yeah. So maybe let's expand this discussion a little bit further now. How does the education system factor into this? Our schools and universities, are they preparing young Namibians for the types of job that are being created in the economy? Are they preparing, you know, them for the type of jobs that are available in our economy?
You know, our country is still young. You know, we cannot compare Namibia to America, for instance. America is hundreds of years old. And you know, post independence, I think we're still forming our, you know, economy, our culture, and that's why you see the educational system itself was just recently reformed. So I would say not sufficiently. There's a skills mismatch because our education system produces many graduates, but not always with the technical or practical skills the market needs, you know.
Yeah.
So I believe going forward, Namibia must align education with training with the industry demands, focusing more on vocational and entrepreneurship skills, which I think the current president also emphasizes that we need more vocational skills, you know. If you look at economies that have grown over the years, like America, they have more vocational skills that are required to build industries, you know.
Yeah. And maybe since we have more, you know, investors that we have sectors that more, you know, that's more foreign that are actually investing in these sectors. Is there maybe the reasons, do we have that kind of like now maybe we're looking at more agriculture, or now we're talking about green hydrogen and all that. Should Namibia itself, maybe not foreign investors, should we maybe identify some of these sectors and be able then to invest in those areas?
Yes, there is a space where we require foreign direct investment.
Yeah.
And there is a space, if we can, that we need our own people. For instance, construction. Before independence, we have been doing construction, or let me say post-independence. We knew most of our guys from Rehoboth, for instance, was good in construction. Why do we need, you know, foreign companies to come do construction on our country? I mean, of course, there are things involved that we might not be aware of, you know, behind the scenes, but the simple thing is what we have been doing. So there is a space where foreign direct investment is needed, where we don't really have the resources.
Yeah.
But I mean, what building resources are we not having in Namibia for that we need foreign direct investment or companies to come work for us?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think it's just a policy issue, you know, and looking into the details and taking these things very serious, because if we give this jobs on the road or construction to our Namibian owned companies, then we ensure the income or the profits don't get repatriated, you know.
Yeah.
But they remain inside our country, and that they can be used and channeled for development that can be tangible in the long run.
Yeah. Well, the other area maybe we can look at, there are some, you know, statistic, how would I say it, or record Namibia wouldn't want to be associated with. One of that is we are one of the unequal society in the world. Wow. Now, despite the economic growth, Namibia is still one of the most unequal countries in as I said, in the world. Why do you think this gap persist?
Can you please repeat the question?
No, what I'm saying is that despite now the economic growth, Namibia is still one of the most unequal countries in the world. So why do you think this gap continues?
Okay, I think the gap persists because income distribution is, of course, uneven. The greatest challenge for any economy is the challenge to distribute the income equally, you understand?
Yeah.
So most of the income goes to a small group, while ordinary households see little improvement. And this was actually how the economy was meant to function before independence in the apartheid era. And it is fair to say that after independence, most black people chose to become the elite, leaving some blacks behind,
Yeah.
So we have that syndrome, of, So another major issue is that Namibia's operational budget, like I said, is much higher than its development budget, So we have a budget for more administration and salaries, but, we have a less budget for infrastructure, housing, and job creation. So this imbalance means less money is invested in projects that improve lives, which slows development and widens inequality in the long run.
Yeah. No, knowing this problem, and is something that, as a country, we have been also this. We wanted to take our people out of poverty, and it has, from apartheid, it has been already an unequal distribution of resources.
Exactly.
Yeah. So why wouldn't we have a deliberate, and maybe more urgent way to address this issue?
Yeah, I think the government should really consider radical policy. If you look at the Gini coefficient of Namibia and South Africa,
yeah,
they are amongst one of the most unequal countries in the world. And it's not a coincidence, because
yeah,
both of them was previously under apartheid policies.
Yeah.
So we have structural issues that really required reformation post independence. But then, like I said, the issue is a few blacks decided to replace the white elites, leaving other, blacks behind.
Yeah.
So we need a radical policy that would really make the playing field level for everyone, Maybe we can also consider what we call sovereign wealth funds, like we have in Norway, And I think one of the policies that will actually somehow bring it to that level, playing level field, is the fact that education has been made free to some extent. Maybe we should consider making it totally free, And,
so there's a little bit of a sound at the back in your background, and sometimes it's kind of like your voice being mixed up with that one. Yeah. So.
All right. Let me check that out quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me.
Yeah. All right. So now, sometimes one get that sense of that the government's economic plans kind of like they are not really get implemented on the ground. So is this a problem? Is this a systemic problem? You mentioned something like that, or a structural problem, or what is the problem?
It's a complex issue. I think there are many things that are involved in terms of implementing the policies. Of course, first of all, I think the issue of bureaucracy in Namibia, it would be helpful if the economy itself is decentralized, government is decentralized.
Yeah.
Then we focus development in that certain area with its own budget. Then, of course, the second issue is the human factor, the issue of corruption. I think to some extent we are trying very well to curb that so far. And then, of course, like I mentioned before, because most of the questions are follow up questions, is the issue of the government ensuring that growth is translated into development.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And do you believe Namibia's economy is diversified enough to provide, because we need these sustainable opportunities? Do you think it's diversified enough to provide that sustainable opportunity for the bigger, for the broader population?
Well, diversification by definition means that we don't heavily rely on primary industries, you know. So we have to consider other industries, you know, to sort of lift the burden, you know. So Namibia currently is predominantly, depending on industries like mining, for example, you know. I think there is still a space for diversification, perhaps where we consider to grow industries like the green hydrogen energy, renewable energy, then maybe also manufacturing and the tech industry as well, you know. If you look at the foreign nations, much of the billionaires currently do come from the digital economy.
Yeah.
So I think that is a space. I mean, let me give this away. We have Yango in Namibia, is a franchise and also a monopoly in that industry. Maybe somebody's listening today that can develop another app that can give younger competition. Yeah, there is a space to penetrate that market. Yango doesn't even have much operational expenses.
Exactly, yeah. So now the other things that we can look at is the FDI. What has been the impact of FDI on, especially on the job creation, in your opinion, in job creation and also wealth distribution? As we say, Namibia is one of the countries that wealth is not equally distributed. So what have you observed an impact of FDI on a job creation or wealth distribution in Namibia?
Well, to be honest, we don't, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
All right, we don't really have much policies in place to ensure that foreign direct investment translates into tangible jobs. Like I said earlier, any corporation is functioning by way of maximizing profit. That's its nature. Yes. Now, the role of the government within the mixed economy is to ensure it levels the playing field by regulating those industries. So, like I said, maybe in the retail sector, you know, I mean, currently in the retail sector, if you hear about, you know, companies, for example, let me use Signature. You know, these companies do make rich targets of maybe billions of dollars per month, but then the worker that works there perhaps gets paid maybe $5,000, and which means most of the profit goes to the owners, and the owners are not Namibians, so their income is repatriated. So the government has to ensure, like I said, that we ensure most of the income that is produced by GDP in our country remains within our country, and then is channeled to creating more meaningful market jobs, as opposed to as the government is probably trying to create non-market jobs through the government itself, which is not sustainable in the long run. So I think there is a need for policy, you know, to ensure that foreign direct investment brings tangible development in our country, because most of the income is still being repatriated. Or that perhaps maybe we give more opportunities to local companies.
Yeah. So, well, the local company, most of them, as we said earlier on, most of the major company are South African company.
So, I mean, there's an interesting article I saw yesterday that I read yesterday that the Minister of Works has given a statement that Namibia Air will be established according to the Companies Act.
Yeah.
So it will not be operating as a parastatal, but I believe as a company, which the government will own 100% of shares in it. You know, so you can see the model that they have adopted going forward. So it, you know, if it operates as a company, then I think it also gives it the privilege to be listed. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a good step going forward.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. So there's also an issue of rural urban migration. So what does that mean for the economy? So how do you understand that?
Okay, rural urban migration, you know, back then if you look at human behavior in terms of settlement, back then before we had cities, you know, so people would migrate next to rivers.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, it's sort of like a, it sustains your life in terms of water you get close from it. And besides that, you can plant your garden or, you know, crops close to it and so on.
Yeah.
So people are also migrating to cities in terms, in search of jobs, you understand, that they don't get in their local rural areas.
Yeah.
So, I think if we can probably develop our agricultural sector, then we can take most of our jobs back to the rural spaces, because of course we have land, which is a vector of production. We have water, you know, we have all these resources that are necessary in the rural areas, you know, so why not capitalize on them? So now we place the whole burden on the cities, because most of us have the perception that, you know, jobs are only available in the city.
In the city, yeah.
So that is what is causing the migration. And then it has a ripple effect on the economy, because once we come here, we have to settle into informal settlements, you know, which, you know, of course also has consequences.
Yeah, like that give now pressure to the municipalities, to the town, to actually come up with housing, with sanitation, with all of this. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So
I just for footnote, I wrote an article on why the housing market is failing us. And there I established that a house is a capital good and an investment. I mean, a consumption good and an investment good at the same time.
Yeah.
So once a local authority or the municipality is allocating for land, sometimes it's having a dilemma, you know, whether to allocate the land for consumption or for investment. So if I say investment, I'm talking about somebody who can buy a piece of plot and maybe build a flat.
Yeah.
Then if I regard it as consumption, I'm talking about me and you that just need space to build a house.
Yeah.
So, you know, the local authority gets more money if it allocates land for investment than for consumption. So yeah. I think that's where the issue is, you know. So there must be a issue of, there must be the policy reformation for us to see housing more as a human right.
That has been the drive of municipality, more investment rather than consumption, you know.
Exactly, because, I mean, there's money required to sell as plots. And that's a good excuse, you know.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned manufacturing and other, you know, maybe invest more in agriculture. So beside these, are there any other industries in Namibia that you think may have been either overlooked or underdeveloped that could offer a more inclusive growth for the country?
Yes, the creative industry. I mean, also, like I said, the issue of sports, you know. I mean, if South Africa also has similar issues that we have because of the historical similarities, but we have a thriving soccer league. And I think there are policies in place that ensure that there are companies to invest in their sports.
Yeah.
Why can't we do the same? Why can't we put a policy in place that tells maybe signature to say, I mean, there's a certain amount of from your income that we want you to invest in our sport. So we have to diversify the funding of our sports. Mm-hmm. We can only have NTC to fund our sports alone, while we have many companies that operate in our country. So it's something that is doable, and through that we can really create meaningful jobs for our local young people that want to grow in that, you know, sector.
Yeah. So is there any, maybe you know a country that maybe that Namibia can learn from when it comes now to turning growth into better lives, you know? Any country in Africa that we can learn from?
So, well, like I said, economics is very complex and also quite interesting.
There
are countries that we can learn from, for example, maybe Rwanda, Botswana and Mauritius, but then we must also consider that history is also plays a major part in terms of economics, you know. So the country that we should most likely learn from is South Africa, because we have historical similarities, but South Africa itself also has the same issue of income inequality that we are having.
Yeah, exactly.
So as much as we can maybe say we want to learn from Botswana, it will not be applicable as it should be because of the structural differences between the countries.
Yeah, no. Now, if you were now to advise the government, you know, what would be your top three priority when it comes now to the issue that we have talked about, that we want to see a tangible, you know, meaningful change in people's life, this growth that we're talking about. Mm.
Yeah, well, I think this requires the ABCs of economics.
Yeah.
The ABCs of economics is demand and supply.
Mm-hmm.
By popular demand, we know the greatest demand of ordinary Namibian right now is a decent job.
Yeah.
So the government has to now come in that space where at least the current jobs that are created are decent. You know, people get benefits from it, you know. And people get good salaries from it that can make them afford reasonable and affordable housing and etc. Then the second thing that the government can do is to ensure that the income as included in the GDP doesn't get repatriated.
Yeah.
We capture much of the income by putting in policies that ensure that foreign companies do really invest in our industries, you know. So I think
how do we reverse that? Let's say we have already foreign companies that they have 10 years or 20 years agreement in place. How do we reverse that now to address some of this issue?
No, there should always be a way, you know. There should always be a way. We cannot assume that it's impossible to be done, you know?
Yeah.
So I will quote Honorable Swaruwa.
Yeah.
He once said something profound that shocked me. He said, "The law is not stupid, but the people who are implementing the law."
That makes sense.
That's how land was taken from us. It was taken legally.
Yeah, exactly.
We should make use. I mean, I think the biggest challenge we have is that we have good politicians that are bad economists, because it's a thin line between the two, you know.
Mm.
For instance, in South Africa recently, we saw they wanted to increase VAT. So it's a good political decision because it can increase government spending if there's more income. But then it affects the low and the middle income, you understand?
Yeah.
So we need politicians with economical minds, you know, that will really understand the ABCs of economics.
Yeah.
And address the issues accordingly. I mean, even the issue of the housing. If we have more demand, then that means we need to supply more. You get it?
Yeah, exactly.
So how can we supply affordable housing, you know, in the housing market? Because once we do so, then the prices will come down in the housing market. That is the basic ABCs of economics.
Yeah. No, now, from our side, the ordinary Namibian, how do we push for a fairer, you know, a fair, more economy, you know? What should we do as ordinary Namibian to to also maybe see this change?
So, well, I would advise us to start our own businesses.
Yeah.
We need businesses, you know. Let our businesses contribute to the GDP, you know, rather than having, you know, that large amount of foreign companies that contribute to our GDP, then also support local businesses, understand?
Yeah.
Local businesses. I mean, that's the issue of patriotism, you know, and that is why countries like America, their economies are growing because they really support their own businesses, you know. I think that's the way forward.
Yeah.
So in that way, we ensure that much of our income in terms of GDP remains in our country.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be something that from the government outlook as well, is something slowly maybe we start to build up, you know, start to have our own local companies that are not many of them that are not South African. So, and in this way, maybe we then start to push that in that direction, isn't it?
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think there's a need for it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, and I think Namibians are currently getting into that space where we are really establishing companies. There was an article I read last night that was stating that most of the employers, you know, the rate of or number of employers has reduced.
Exactly.
Over the
I have that as a second item that I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility that most of those, you know, we had COVID, most of those employers were actually maybe the SMEs, understand?
Mm.
And I think because of the economic crisis that we had previously, it hit them hard and they had to close down.
Yeah.
But then we know the reality. Most of our employers are foreign companies.
Yeah.
But don't really give our people decent benefits. After the long years, they commit to them.
Yeah. Maybe while we're still on there, you know, why many small, I mean, SME in Namibia and small enterprises in Namibia, why did many of them don't grow into the Indongos and that kind, the likes of Indongos and, you know, why?
Well, it's not a straight cut, you know, issue. It's complex. There are quite many factors that are included.
Yeah.
The government currently is really doing well to support the SMEs in our country.
Yeah.
You know, but then I think there's also just competition from foreign companies, you know.
Yeah.
And we need to safeguard that. For instance, we still choose to import certain things that we can produce locally, you know. So, I mean, do you see what Trump has done with the issue of tariffs? That was radical. I think our government can also push things in that way,
yeah.
You know. Mm. That maybe we see if we can, just to, you know, encourage our local producers, if we have capable producers, you know, that maybe we add more tariffs on foreign and so on.
Mm. Mm. All right, Mr. Gagosep. Now, looking ahead, do you see a future where Namibia growth is as much as about people's well-being, as it is about numbers when we talk about economic growth?
Yes, ordinary Namibians can, like I said, push for accountability. We need to have all the government accountable. And like I said, we support local businesses and demand policies that prioritize inclusive growth. So the future can be brighter if we understand that the economic growth and economic development are not the same.
Mm.
So growth looks good on paper, but real progress happens when income stays in Namibia and is equally distributed amongst the needs of the ordinary household. Like I said, by creating meaningful jobs, affordable housing, access to quality education and healthcare. So if we really put in radical policies, you know, to address the structural issues that are in our country. And I think there is a bright future. Like our president says, we are too few to be poor. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's an issue that can be addressed. I think we haven't really done much that is necessary after independence. So much of the inequality that we have, you know, still comes from the economic structure that we had before independence, which was really meant to be this way.
All right. Anything else that you deem important for our listeners to share with before I let you go?
I think we have said much around the issue. Yeah. You know, I have emphasized much, though. All right. I believe the message has came across clear to the listener.
All right. No, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your valuable insight with us today. So it is clear, that while Namibia's economy may be growing, there is still a long road ahead in terms of ensuring that everyone benefits from this growth. So
exactly.
Yeah. So thank you we appreciate you joining us on Unpacking the Day and shedding light on some of these critical issues that matter to all of us. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a good day.
Same to you.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right. Let's put this down for you to come through. Okay. Yes, that was Mr. Dominic. Gao Gossep. So please, giving us really, really quite a lot. We had a little bit of enough time to cover a couple of things. Now the line is open. So you may come through and have your reaction, have your contribution, you know, of the conversation, of the topic itself. So what do you think? So the telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, yes. Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So I had a discussion with Mr. Domingo Gao Gossep, and we're looking at the economic growth, where we, as I said, we see positive signs of economic growth. So even if it's slow, still a growth that we talk about. We see a growth on paper, which is actually very good, but many of you have noticed this growth, it doesn't seem to be translating into tangible on the ground improvement for everyday life experience. So now we covered issues. We looked at some of issues of unemployment. We look at some, there's still higher unemployment. We're talking about economic inequality. We're talking about poverty that is still, you know, holding many, many, many of Namibian back. So it's kind of like a puzzle, you know. You get puzzled in terms of how can a country be growing economically and yet so many people
are struggling to meet their daily needs. So there are things that come out, a few things that Mr. Domingo have mentioned. So that the income, for example, when we talk about now sectors that we rely much on, the income that comes from there, the income is spent outside the country. So the income it's actually owned by foreign companies. So it's not actually, it's not benefiting much of the Namibians. There are also issues of policy that we need actually somehow radical policies to change the situation. The situation which is somehow is a structural issue coming from, apartheid eras, and there are things that definitely need to change. So there are a host of issues, and as he said, this is complex. Economic issues are complex. It's not just as simple as that. One can understand that. So what is your take? What is your what is your take on our conversation, on our discussion? So our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you are welcome to come through and have your reaction and your own perspectives. How do you see this? Okay? 0833-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kuimeleha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, go aye.
No matter where you...
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 9:09, 9 minutes past the hour of nine. So we're looking at the discussion that we have is looking at how who actually benefit when the GDP grows. That what our discussion we're focused on. What is your take? Generally, your understanding as well. You could be an economist, you could be anyone. How do you feel this whole, what is your take on that? 0833-66091. Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Your people, they are not coming in, and you know me, I'm taking up time. Okay, but today I will not.
You are one of my people as well. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. So, the issue, there is some issues that I think people, they don't understand much about it. So, when the constitution was drafted, 70% of it come from SWAPO, bureaus of SWAPO, Central Committee's agenda was the principle of that. So that including for them to adopt the apartheid regime rules, that if you look at it, it was benefited most of the whites at the time.
Yeah.
schools were having special, some of them, they were even graduated as best doctors, engineers, and all of that. That's why Tate Nyoma, may rest in peace, were not wanted into, because it was a beautiful thing to do with your people.
Yeah.
So, if you go back now to the Swapo Constitution, we're finding all of those things. That is where, because Swapo having people in the country that are look at what is improving, what is not improving, that including education and all of those things, mm-hmm. and labor, whatever, and the distribution of the wealth, it was also a part of this. But when we also adopted it, we adopted it in the same way of the apartheid discrimination. Yeah, we're doing. So, which is now the elite are get richer. Yeah, and the poor get poor.
We just replaced the elite white with the...
With the black.
With the blacks.
Yeah. Those are now the things that...
But the system
that,
hasn't changed.
Yeah. So those are now the things that... If you look at the involvement of Ndosi ED or the chief executive office on the public entity, they got well paid. But if you look at in their cleaners on their entities, they get a little. Mm-hmm. That was also happening in South African time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the apartheid era.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that. It will never change because of this. And the one, there is, as I say, people, they don't understand much when it comes to Swapo.
So what you're saying is that, you know, let's say, for example, parastatal of the government, the senior, mm-hmm. during apartheid, the senior, you know, the white were the senior management, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So and they were getting hundreds thousands of dollars of rent. So while the middle management and maybe the laborers are black, and there was that big gap, you know. So when we took over, we just keep actually the same structure.
yes, so, you see now.
Yeah, we just keep the same structure. And we didn't actually then narrow that gap. Yeah.
No. It's the same, even the land, even everything. If you look at it, it's just the same. The benefit, the people that are benefiting on that era when it comes to land issue, they are the one that is still benefiting on this Swapo rules.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that when you are addressing those issues of housing and what. So most people, they were depending on their companies, right? To providing for them houses, and at the end of the day, you are owning it after you pay it off.
Mm.
But in now, the small market, job market that we have, most of these companies, they are under contract agreement that they have got. For example, the mining companies. So they get, some they're getting 5 years contract, some they're getting 10 years contract, they're renewing it and all of that. Mm-hmm. So they cannot guarantee you a house for 25 years while them, they know they will be only here for 5 years.
For 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you will not get the house out of that. So when it comes now to what I mentioned yesterday of saying people that doesn't know the this public entity, whether they are profitable company or they're just there for access. So those are also, because if they are a facilitator of something, so that means you don't expect them to make profit out of that.
Mm.
So they have indirect, the government will, Minister of Finance will starting detecting which now sectors that are contributing much to the GDP or to the revenue.
Mm.
So those are the type of things that now when you look at NAMPOWER, NAMPOWER is not a profitable company because them, they are just there to wiring poles and putting up those sub electrical storage.
But in the end, we also expect it to operate sustainably, you know, without too relying, you know, on government. You know, come every year, you know, the government has to, you know, to pump money to this kind of.
As I say, that is what which was adopted because government were doing that before. You understand? Then they were the community are not the one that were demanding that we need a school for this. The government data is showing that if you look at now that Omatando village have, you know, more than 10,000 children for Sabu A.
Yeah.
So they have to come and putting up a school.
Yeah.
Mm. You see now. That is the same expectation of now the Namibian nation, which is now immigrant for Ubana immigrant and all of that, as we now dictated by the traditional authority of saying you will not owning the land if you are not having what is needed by traditional authority.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are also the problems, as I say, those are also the problems that maybe we review the Swapo constitution before we go there. And then when we review this is where we go back into the constitution and say, no, this was amended according to the contribution to the observing of Swapo, which was discussed in 1985. You understand?
Yeah.
So, and some, if you look at even the reconciliation was discussed on 1990, and it was amended in the first in Congress of SWAPO that SWAPO has a policy of to forgiving and move on with the Namibia, which is guiding us for 34 years now.
Yeah.
So those are the things that when we go back there, it's only that the parliamentary or the lawmakers that we have. Yeah, they're not studying these things.
Yeah.
But in the constitution of Swapo, there is a said, if you are appointed...
But the thing is that if we have to change the future, we need actually to look back. How did we come to this point?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how we can, even when we talk about reform of policy and all we need to understand.
Those are the things I'm saying. The lawmakers that we have in this country,
yeah.
Even a member of SWAPO, he doesn't know the constitution of SWAPO.
Yeah.
How do you expect this person now to review and raising the point that, no, the discrimination are here. Yeah. Because the elite are getting richer. The same way the minority were making, white minority were making, were benefited more. If you look at it, they are even state hospital, how it was. That's the Windhoek Central Hospital. Yeah, and the other words that were in Oshakati there. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And they were also channeled into the protection one. So that is the same way now we have, but no matter it was published or saying, let us make it public for everybody to have a choice.
Yeah.
It doesn't really adding up because it's still funded by the government.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that the lawmakers that we have in this country are not really studying what is the way forward. How do we progress? How do we end up achieving something in future?
Yeah.
They don't have that. Mm-hmm. And that is what, you know, also, if you look at in South Africa now, the GU unit that we have.
Before you go there, you're making a point, but this is one, I don't want to insult, you know, I don't want to insult our lawmaker. But it's just, it's also to think, do we really have, because we're coming there from the ticket of a political party, you know, and depending how active you were in your political party. But we know that in any political party, we have the think tanks, the really learned one. They might not even the one that are actually in parliament, you understand? So now the question is, Do we really have people that see further than even understand, as you're doing, understanding the policy that was there? Why was it established? How do we how do we then actually change that policy to how do we change to benefit our people? Maybe we just don't have I'm not saying all of them, competent, competent enough based on this, on our way, how we bring people in parliament. Do you understand?
Yes. Yeah, that is what I'm saying. If you, as I say, the adoption, it was good. If you look at in that 15 years of our founding president, because he was guided everybody, and the, most of the people, they were trusted him. Most of the opposition political party were trusted him, and they were having also opportunity to come and review that. No, Swapo here were saying this, but if you look at what is here, and then Swapo, Mr. President is the one that is instructing those ministries of saying, no, this is not what we are expecting to work with our education, to work with our Ministry of Labor, to work with. So that's why the players, the job were easily created, because those players that is are involved, they were serious to do that.
Yeah.
But for now, as I said now, if you look at in the parliament, what is people are discussing, and what we are discussing in the radio, all those 10 or 30 radios that in the country, people are talking about inequality. And this inequality, where it came from, if we don't have a, let me say, if we don't have educated people in our country, academically educated, qualified for those type of job in the government, which is everybody's right, is crying. But you, on the look of the white, if we were having a white in the apartheid era, a white cleaner, how much was she were earning?
Yeah.
Or he were earning? So those are the type of things that we have to look at in those white school, how their cleaners were paid and all of that. Or were all of them having those high paid job?
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that inequality will never go away because of your 10,000 are employed by ShopRite, and they are the one that is demanding the houses in this country. So while the elite one, they have 5 or 6 houses, which is even informed President Buhamba was saying, I wonder a person who is working in the government, but they have 5 houses, even a holiday house.
Yeah.
So those are the type of problems that, as I wanted into giving the example of the GU now in South Africa, which is they saw it that, some of we have to go back into those ones because the DA come up with that. The failure of this were not implemented because we adopted from the apartheid era.
Yeah.
But if we cut it with our people now, they might end up improving some of these people. And those are now the type of how to live in the urban area, because you cannot a city and you allow people to live without the sanitation.
Yeah.
That is another thing which is a failure from the city. But if you look at Dr. Apartheid polling, we said if those people are flocking in your area, you're making sure, unless you're putting up a measure prevented thing that we're putting of saying all the people that are crossing Oshivero or Namtune, what, they must know where they are going. So that's why those all the bosses were asking to providing accommodation. But here now we are bringing up the FDI foreigners to come and creating jobs, but they don't provide accommodation for their people.
Yeah.
And you adopted that policy in your constitution. So those are the problems that, as I said, we have a lot of people that they don't understand or they don't discuss what is really Swapo was doing. That's why I'm saying, when I'm talking about Swapo, where I'm studying a lot of things, is that when Swapo have been discussing all of this issue, and we're having people in the country that is addressing those issues when it comes to Swapo Central Committee, the Swapo Bureau, when they are coming to Angola, they have to come up with that this one is improved, this one is not yet improved. So what are we going to do with this? So those are the type of things that when we came, all these things are already on the table. And when we starting to drafting this thing, we are putting it up. And those two guys now, Moses Kachiongwa and the others, they are also putting it up. That including Pretorius, he was also putting it that, no, the whites are discriminated with this one and this one. We have to eliminate it.
Yeah.
So, Mike, let's give him a chance to others.
Let's say others what they have to say. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through. Yeah?
You're welcome.
0833 66091. 0833 66091. Am I saying it right? 0833 66091. So I don't want to give you a wrong number. So it becomes automatic that you don't even think about it. You could be citing wrong numbers, actually. Good morning and welcome. So what is your take on our discussion this morning? So, or otherwise, what is our time? 26 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah, so, yeah, you're most welcome. You're really to if you are listening to the interviews, to come through and also have your reactions. And your contribution and what you think, you know, and what is your take on a couple of things that we looked at. All right. So let's get to, you know, to our second, which is actually still a complementary to what we're talking about. So he was referring to, another story that I pick up, which I found very, you know, it's quite, a story that quite frankly, a bit of, you know, when you think of it, let's go to the next caller. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Unpacking the Day. Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Ah, good, Tate. Dr. Mike, I'm thinking in the morning, I think I break somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think I heard you guys were discussing about how the few elites after independence, the system, how it have failed people.
With the recent caller, the previous caller?
No. Okay. I think there was somebody on the...
On the discussion. We were looking more. We were looking, part of that, but it's actually getting to the... But we're looking at, maybe if you want to go into it, really, we're looking at that, how come, you know, the country be growing economically, yet many people are struggling to meet their daily needs.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's basically the main
thing. Yes. Yeah, no, the thing is, you know, we like blaming government or the ruling party or whatever. But for me, if you look at the discussions, like especially the one for yesterday, I'm not sure the headlines of the newspaper today. I heard something about autocracy, the president or what had stopped. I think on the thing, on the mineral issues and that, how the president wanted to run it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we should appreciate. The first thing we have to ask ourselves, if what the president wants to do now, she wants to try, are you listening to me?
I'm listening.
If what the president wants to try now, they are calling it autocratic. What is democratic? Has it worked for the past 32 years?
Yeah.
Or 35 years? Has it worked? If it have worked, let's say yes. If it has failed us, with this might have failed. Why can't we try something else?
But one can look also on the other side, on the other point, and said, why can't you appoint a competent person to make it work?
But look at it. Competent people were appointed.
Were they? You know?
No, they are ministers.
Yeah.
Fish rot, you are talking about. You are talking about oil rot. You are talking about even in the medical.
Yeah.
Yes, in health. This was that. Are these not competent people, independent people, put there? Some of them, they are not even politicians.
Yeah, no. Well, one can be competent in skills, but well, in how you conduct yourself or how you conduct business, that's also part of the whole thing. You know, when we're talking competent, it's not just about they are qualified, highly qualified, but also how do you run?
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is the question we have to ask ourselves is, has it worked? Because we have followed almost everything, and up to now, it's still failing us. We have got what you call red line. Why is the economy not growing? You cut one sector of the people where you know the most populated areas, you cut them off from the economy.
Yeah.
So they should not trade with you. How do you expect your economy to grow?
Yeah.
Where is parliament? The people have been in parliament for the past how many years that day?
Yeah. But the other thing, when you look at that, just a quick one, just a way to think the other side as well, is that this is a reaction. You understand? It looks like a reaction. That's why people probably would also question, because
if this was something you planned from the very beginning, it would have been just part of that from the very beginning. So rather than actually now we see, okay, maybe we need to react here. Yeah.
All right. Do we understand the plan of the colonialist, the colonial master?
Mm.
Let me tell you one thing. There's one thing people which have learned. A colonial master planned not for one day. They planned for more than 100 years to control us. But do we see that?
Mm.
How many people can see that? That lead line we have there is one of the stumbling blocks of economy. Why? Because they tell you, no, you can sell the meat to us, but the condition will be,
yeah,
you should not sell us this type of meat. Because why? For us, for you to depend on us, we should cut some of the stuff that can make your economy to grow.
Yeah. But, yes. But you decide, how do you look at you it? Decide otherwise? You say, okay,
no.
If that's
no,
your,
no, no.
If that's
we
your
cannot,
condition.
Look, listen, because then you have got different type of people who thinks the way the other, I think what you were discussing, we have got, we have grown the culture of saying, I should look better than you. Yes. So you should always come and ask me. When we drive, I should drive this car, you should not drive this one.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So they should, we should identify ourselves. You should be the person you, you see, there should be those who should be asking from others. That's what, this is the culture we have in.
Yeah.
And that's why we have failed, because if we have we would have identified areas that the problem, if we would have said, okay, let's look at this, let's trade with the people, let's go and negotiate. Because when we're negotiating, we shouldn't be expecting only one side to give you the story.
Mm.
Say, look, I don't have a problem to do that. But what I'm going to create a market that the people in the red line, over the red line, that side, they can also sell their meat this side. But we should just make it, this is local.
Yeah.
Eh? And this is in whatever.
But maybe
we make
maybe,
it local. But
maybe
how many local products do we have in the shops?
Mm.
Yes.
Maybe the other thing is that the previous caller what was saying is that, you know, the structure that we found there, you know, we just replaced it with the blacks. So
that definitely.
Yeah. So now the blacks are benefit and they are the one in charge.
That's why Fanon
why
said that. That's why Fanon said it long time. And that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
If what the president wants to try, is against what have been there.
Yeah.
Mm. How do you look at it? Is it, can we try something new?
Yeah.
Or should we stick to this one that doesn't work? And everybody wants to stick to the thing that doesn't work.
Mm.
Because that's the point of campaigning.
Yeah. And do you know the danger of that? You know, you in 5 years...
Traore, everything is under Traore.
Yeah. In
what
5 years, someone
in
else will, someone else will turn that, will turn that upside down. You will think, okay, we will take out of the presidency now. And you start all over again. You know.
No. Let's say this.
Mm.
In as much as we complain about China, communist, whatever is in Russia.
Yeah.
Which one is better? If it comes in terms of governance, Namibian government, the African governance, which is democratic governance in Africa, and the Chinese governance, which is communist and Russian government, which one is better? Which one do you think works for their people?
I think you judge that by the improvement it makes in people's life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So which one improves its people's lives? Is it the one we are practicing, or the one the Chinese and the Russians are practicing?
It's difficult to say, you know.
No, we know. Let us be honest. We know that the Chinese and the Russian system is working. We can see it with our two eyes. There are Chinese here more than me. We are in China.
Yeah.
See, they are selling us everything. What is it that we are selling to the Chinese apart from meat?
But wouldn't you also consider where you are at? I can understand that where they are, of course, they are global power.
No, how did they get
there?
They are
powerhouse.
I'm asking you, were they born like that?
No.
Or were they there before, like us before?
Yeah.
They were also colonized.
Yeah. So.
Is it?
Yeah, no, so, I think we
need to interrogate things then.
Yeah, not definitely.
To be honest on ourselves, say, in as much as I want this, but this thing is not working for me. Can I try something? Maybe by trying something, maybe to unlock some of the opportunities.
Definitely.
But because we are,
You know, I said, you're right, definitely. It may, you try something else maybe to unlock the opportunity. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Because here we have been taught what to do. Unfortunately, the things that we do when we are trading with Europe, they tell us the terms and conditions how to trade with them, what should come and what should not go.
Yeah.
When they are bringing things from their side, they don't. We don't tell them this. We don't want this. We want no.
Yeah. Whose fault is it?
That's what I'm trying to ask you.
Yeah.
The system was designed that.
Yeah.
When you look at it, look. I like what the doctrine, the indoctrine, whatever the KGB, I think they used to say this thing. Eh?
Yeah.
What the. There's in their doctrine way they say, you know, subversion is very critical. That's what we have to understand. Subversion, they say it. It's a simple concept where, you infiltrate into your enemy's territory and change your enemy's perception to the extent that the enemy perceives you as a helper.
So
this is what we look at. Africa looks at Europe as a helper, but it's the same Europe that destroys Africa.
Yeah. I think we are in a situation where, as you said, they have created a situation where we kind of have no choice anymore. You understand?
No, we have no. That I refuse.
Yeah.
We still have got a choice.
Yeah,
the
choice
must not be a military one, because look at Magufuli. The choice is there. It's there.
No, we.
It's the willing of the legislation, which is parliament.
Yeah.
The willing of the legislation, which is parliament, to pass laws that are in favor of its people.
Yeah. No. Yes. I understand. Even our laws are actually in favor of our people, definitely.
I don't think sometimes.
But, you know.
Well, okay, if it's in favor of our people, why are we not growing the economy?
Exactly. That's the thing. But
that
now,
tells you it's not in the favor. The laws of China are in favor of the Chinese people, you can see that the economy is growing. If America wants to do this, China will say, no, you do that, I'll do this.
Yeah. No, no.
And we come to
what
the
I'm
table.
Saying to that is that, is it, is, are there some condition that we are, our hands are tied, even though when we know that this law, or is it ignorance? Now you're asking that, is it ignorance from us to actually accept that kind of our agreement?
You could
something?
Hear it in parliament. Yes, I was listening.
Yeah.
I was watching. You could see that people, they come. Look, it looks a genuine reasoning. No one disputes that.
Yeah.
We are, the reasoning people were giving there to say it's autocratic, it might look like genuine.
Yeah.
But can we try it and see if it will work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it might mean we don't want to assign one person with powers.
Yeah, but that's what the leader does anyway. You know, you can have people being critical, and you do it anyway. If it works, everybody's gonna clap hands. You know. So
look, part
of that,
a leader who is working for his people.
Yeah,
Burkina Faso, it's military coup. Eh, we all saw it, but today, even you and me, we are praising.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why? Because he have got the power. He says, look, give me the power and then blame me if I don't execute in line with what I'm asking you to do.
Exactly.
Well, take me to jail. The person, I think this president, I heard that very well, said, if it will cost me to go to jail, I'll go it for the sake. If I'm doing whatever I'm going to do is to improve the livelihood of Namibians.
Exactly.
And the day I'll leave office and after I have to go to jail, I'll go. I think everybody hate that one.
Yeah, no, definitely. So
yes. So now the question comes. The person have got ideas to counter, which you normally call counter-revolution. So to counter that, then we go and say, no, this person is not good. But then we are the very same people, after we say that, we go and complain.
Yeah.
No, the government is not doing enough. What is that the government wants? The person tells you, give me power. We don't even hold the CEOs to account. When they go, I said it last time.
Yeah.
Let's start holding people to account. Let's listen to what they said.
Yeah.
In the interviews. If there's something what the president says, Let's listen to the speech of the president, the inauguration speech, or the campaigning speech, and let's compare. Are we in line with what she was telling us? Yes or no?
Yeah. But yes. The other thing is also, the good thing is this. I think we can't be always in the conformity. So what it means is that even opposite views are helpful. You know,
yes.
Yeah. So, as I said, as rightly you said that, you know, the president in the end, he can decide to say, this is how it's going. Let me go to jail if it doesn't go well. So that in the end is the decision of the president. But we also need to hear so that even if I was in this position, I wanna hear too. Maybe they have something.
Okay. Let's do this.
That
if
would help
people,
me
if those parliamentarians are genuine.
Yeah. Yeah.
If those parliamentarians, what they are saying is genuine, why can't they say, let's put it in the constitution that if the president, whatever this president does this, these are the consequences.
Yeah.
If they are genuine, they are telling the truth. They are telling that, okay, the president wants to be autocratic.
Yeah,
why can't they say, let's go for a referendum.
Yeah.
Let's amend the constitution.
Yeah.
So we put all the things that blocks that person.
Yeah.
There's something they do in Russia or China.
Yeah, well,
if you are found corrupt,
yeah.
You know where your solution is.
Yeah, that's also a point where well, this is all for maybe a person get. This is an opportunity for me to, you know, to score some political points. You know.
Yes. No, because last time I told that the Venana said, in as much as we want to ask to vote for you guys, you have been in parliament for how long?
Mm.
What is it that you tabled there for the benefit of the Namibians?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of
no, things. Let's look at the agriculture. The president is talking about agriculture.
Yeah.
Do you hear anybody saying, no? Okay, on the agriculture side, what is it that the government can do? Because we have to boost productivity, but government might not have everything on their own. But it's not only investors from other countries. Then the countrymen and women of this country, they want to buy something, but they cannot afford.
Yeah.
What is that the government is going to do to subsidize that?
Yeah.
Mm. What method that if a person I can afford to buy a plowing machine,
yeah,
a plow for myself, the plow costs 6,000 maybe, and this person, you look at him, is a cleaner. If the person says, okay, I can afford to pay this plow maybe 2,000 or 1,000 or 500 per month, till I finish it without deposit, are they discussing that? That let's look at the point of, if we have to do, we are not subsidized, we are saying, let's remove the deposit on certain things, items.
Mm.
Is it? So that if this equipment, these people go and buy the agriculture equipment, they go and plow, they can, because they are willing to pay back, but the problem, what stops them, is deposit.
Yeah.
So deposit, is it really a point that the person is not going to pay? No. Deposit, what is the purpose of deposit? We don't understand. I also don't know. It's stopping you to acquire so that the country can move forward.
Mm.
What does the parliamentarian do if they are genuine? If they are not there to show that, no, it's division.
Yeah. So we want to believe that they are Namibian, patriotic Namibians who want the best of the country.
I've tried to look at that, but I've failed to be honest with you. I listen to parliament.
Yeah.
I listen to parliament many times.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
Even this what the Sankwasa is doing. Because he went and he read. Is it? And everybody's praising him. But how many years have we been there?
Yeah.
We never saw opposition there. Opposition was there. Opposition have been in councils. What did the opposition do? Even in the city of Windhoek.
Yeah.
Do you think Katima, when the Sankwasa went and defied everybody, there were no oppositions there?
Yeah.
Actually, the opposition was crying that it's not our fault. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So which means they were so happy with whatever the people have been doing, the councils have been doing.
Mm. Oh, of course, for them, they would have loved the council to fail, because then they have something to... to...
But remember, if I'm in the same group, if they're assuming that was poison,
yeah,
do you think those councillors would have survived?
And that's, and that's why we didn't move anywhere. That's why there wasn't
any now movement. That development did not move because of also those councillors who are there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look, that's... I would have loved to see, if you look at Parliament of South Africa, EFF, even if the thing is not popular, you show it to the people. This is my idea. Okay. Let it be rejected by the majority. So the people themselves say, no, they are trying. But maybe then we need to give these guys more votes such that when they go next time, they are in majority.
Yeah.
The people must see, because it's the voters. Now you go and discuss, no, this is autocratic. But we are saying oil, people were eating. On medication, people inflated the prices. Who suffered?
Yeah.
Me and you. Now here comes the person says, no, but I think these things have never worked. Let's change it. Can we do it this way? We say, no. We are happy with what is happening. And then we are calling ourselves opposition. Yeah. What opposition? Opposition does not mean just to oppose. It's to bring new ideas that develops the country.
Yeah.
Let the ruling party or whatever government deny you that opportunity. But the people will see.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just there to stop things because I'm opposition, come on, chief. Sometimes let us be honest. So I'm challenging those parliamentarians. You can go to them.
Mm.
Yes.
All right.
Go to them and say, ask them, if you are genuine, why can't you ask this? Okay, this one, let's put it in the constitution that no president will have power. If the president does A, B, C, D to enrich herself or himself, on those things which he's saying, I want more powers. If it's for self-enrichment, that president will go to jail.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's put it in the constitution.
All right.
Yes. All right. Let's not just argue or stop things. This, what we have currently, does not work for the country, for the people of this country. That's why you see you have got the poor and the rich.
Yeah.
It's not because it's working. It's not working.
Yeah. Exactly.
They should look at things that can advance the economy. Agriculture, go to the bank and look, it's easier to buy a car, with 600, which is worth 1 million. Go and ask the bank to give you 1 million to start business.
Hmm.
And see if they'll give it to you.
They won't.
Yeah. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well,
they'll give you a lot of excuses, is not so?
Exactly, yeah.
But the car, because it doesn't develop the economy. So, because they know that one day, just ask those parliamentarians to sanction that the NAMPOST must be one of the commercial banks in Namibia.
Yeah.
Just do that, and you see how the capitalists will start fighting that. Why can't they bring those ideas that, no, this is what, because we want to have Namibian things, so that also we grow our economy.
Yeah.
Yes. The money we put in Standard Bank, the money we put in FNB, the money we put in NetBank, doesn't stay here. It goes back to that. That's why the headquarters are in South Africa.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. So what is that we don't see?
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm giving you this task that, Mike, go to Parliament and ask them, if you are arguing, why can't you argue that let's put this, whatever that the Kapofi was presenting, let's agree, we put them in the constitution.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming through.
Okay, the other one is this one for SOEs. SOEs are not performing. I think there is a bill they wanted to pass that the SOEs must go to Ngurare. And they know the Prime Minister is a hard worker.
Yeah.
He's not a lazy person. They want to stop it because why? SOEs are not working. NAMPOWER cannot even give us power.
Hmm.
Come to Telecom now, MTC. In as much as we are saying MTC have brought a lot of towers in the country, network is not working. Let us be honest with each other.
Yeah.
And the day we accept that, the truth that things are not working, we need people, the way you have said, competent people to do things.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, if people are arguing, let's try something new. These things we have been doing every day, same thing.
It's insanity. They say you're doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
It won't work.
It won't work. Yeah.
We are talking about AI. Yeah? I was telling one of the teachers this morning, I said, we are talking about AI, but we're teaching kids about Hitler. How does Hitler and AI related? No, go to the exam papers.
Yeah.
The only question they'll ask this kid is, what is AI? Can you describe AI? Not teaching the person the importance of AI and what when doing practically. When you hear about AI, this is what is AI results.
Yeah.
These are results for AI.
To be fair to the teacher, don't even have equipment to be able to show that.
You know, yes, but we don't have, we are asking kids, you know AI. What is AI?
Yeah.
We are living in the AI age.
Yeah.
Come on, come on. Guys, let us be honest here. Yeah?
All right.
You know, some of the things we make ourselves like, you know.
Let's see if we can get somebody else as well. Yeah.
Thanks, man. All right, bye.
Coming. Yeah. all right. Good morning. All right, 3366091. So we still have about 9 minutes to go. Come through and have your say. So we're talking about how can a country be growing economically, yet so many people are still struggling to meet their daily needs. 0833 66091. Ooh, let's have a quick commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana nongeshifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifaa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje tatuimu. Datu, heari jamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And, has been really engaging. So our time is about 53 minutes past the hour of 9. By 10 o'clock, we're going to hand over to Mr. Franz, who will be coming with Kuthamosha program. Yeah, so make sure that you tune in at 10 o'clock. Yeah, so make sure that you tune in at 10 o'clock follow another insightful discussion that is coming up. And I always, as actually David said this morning, that many topic that we bring you or issue, we don't just, wake up and then, what are we going to discuss today? No, these are normally designed to really to create thinking, discussion, debate, and based on what is actually happening within our society. That's what we want to create. We want to create conversation on issues that are very, very relevant to our economies, to our living, what we are going through on a daily basis. So we still have 5 minutes. Maybe you want to be the last one just to say a few things. So you must welcome. We still have 5 minutes. Still a lot of minutes for you to make your point across. 083-366-091. Yeah. So there are a couple of things that, some of the callers that have come through mentioned, for example, which is a very things that we need to think through seriously. For example, that we haven't changed the system, you know. That's also that we haven't changed the system. It's just that, you know, few, like, you know, the way white minority who have been in control of the resources and, you know, dominating in the arena of economy and all that. So it's just that we just replace those with some elite. And exactly stays the same, and the whole question of inequalities continues. I mean, you come the same institutions where the top management were maybe white people, you know. So nothing changed. You know, there has been this gap, even in terms of salary or something like that. It continues. They knew that the black that comes in continue with this the same status quo. So they haven't breached that gap, and it's typical. You can see that where it's coming from the apartheid system, and we really haven't done anything much, you know, to change that. So, like what Domingo is saying, we need to have some radical, you know, some radical policies to really be able to do that. If we're going the way that we're going now, there's no way that we are going to actually close that gap. So we need really some radical changes or radical policies that are more deliberate, as Kanjengo would always said, you know, deliberate policies that are designed to change the situation with agency. It's not just about, you know, it's just a policy that we develop and put on the shelf. And the other things that we talked about yesterday as well, and some of these days, it's about enforcement. It's about implementation. So implementation of policy, if the policy is not implemented, it's worthless. It's the same as that there isn't policy at all, you know? And the reasons why we don't see changes, and also from the discussion that we have, is because this policy, either a lack of policy to enforce what we want, the changes that we want, or the policy is not being reinforced, is not being implemented. And there are a host of things to think about. Is it because of lack of do we have people that can translate, you know, policy into services, into implementation? So maybe not. As I said, we should also look at our political system. How do we get people into parliament, into lawmakers? Do we really have, and I said, and this doesn't go for everybody, do we really have people who understand the dynamic of where we are, you know? As someone said, we didn't understand. If you don't understand the policy that has been there, you won't be able to bring the reform that you need, because you need to understand that. All right. So yeah, you are trying to come through now. That's too late. I'm giving you enough time to come before that. So it's too late for now. So let's cross to Windhoek, to Tate Franz, who is coming up with Kuthamosha. Yeah, it has been a really good engagement. Let's do that tomorrow again here on Unpicking the Day. And thank you, Mr. Domingo Gauzes, for your time and for your insight this morning. And also thank you for those who call in to participate and be part of the show. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a good listening to the programs that are coming your way. Coming up now is Kuthamosha with Tate Franz. From me, it's a goodbye and have a pleasant day ahead.